Listen to God's word from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. Before we begin with the message, I wanted to point out a couple of things. These flowers are part of living crosses, and they are here to remember our loved ones. So at each cross, there's a basket of flowers, and this is that florist kind of thing that you stick flowers in. So you're invited to come forward and put a flower in the cross. You can do that during communion or actually during the offering, you know, once the plate's gone by, or if you'd like, during the last hymn. I invite you to come up at one of those times and to put a flower in. The other thing I wanted to point out was we have a new banner. It was designed and made by Carol Reif, and it will appear on this Sunday each year and also during Memorial Day weekend for our Memorial Day Sunday. You'll see some little bells at the bottom. The bells are to remind us of the saints whose character and presence echoes in our own lives. And from this point on, for each of our members who die, we will attach another bell. That echo here in this sanctuary, and this banner will be present when we celebrate the life of people and memorial and funeral services. And so we're thankful to Carol, and we'll be reminded of those presents that echo in us. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I had a little time to travel this week. I was down in Vicksburg, Mississippi, of all places. And one of the things that I like about plane travel is coming into the place where you get your luggage, baggage claim. Now, it used to be I liked when you first got off the plane years ago. Do you remember when you could go to the gate and wait for your loved one? You remember back in the day? I loved that. I loved getting off a plane and seeing people just watching, person after person coming off, waiting expectantly for their loved one. Today, you have to wait till you get to baggage claim, but the same thing happens. At Detroit Metro at McNamara, remember how you come down that escalator and the doors are there and you open the doors and there's often a ring of people there waiting. Now, they've got those people that are kind of passive looking and they've got little cardboard signs, right? Name on it. They don't know who they're picking up. They're just waiting for that person. But there are other people, sometimes holding children. Sometimes you can tell they're grandparents, and they are waiting for someone who's coming. And they look over the heads of the people who are coming that aren't their loved ones, and they look beyond, searching. It's a wonderful thing, especially when you see what happens as someone who hasn't seen a loved one in a long time comes out that door, and they run forward and they embrace them. It's a wonderful thing. And sometimes I wonder about the stories. Are they people who are coming home from a long adventure? Are they children who are returning for just a short vacation? Are they grandma and grandpa who are finally coming out to visit grandchildren that have moved so far away from them? Whatever the story, the reunion is just really something special to see. And it has me thinking today about heavenly reunions. Now, we have a picture of what's going to happen in heaven, don't we? Mostly comes from the movies. You suddenly will find yourself in this kind of empty place that's kind of white and bright, but there is no sun. And you're walking around and you're about calf deep in cloud. Am I right? Okay? And someone will come up to you, sometimes with a clipboard, right? And they know your name. And no one ever asks, how do they know your name? But they know your name and they tell you what's happened and there you are in heaven. And so we have that image. Or perhaps we have that image of St. Peter at the gate, right? Even though St. Peter, what Jesus said to St. Peter in Matthew was, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. But what it meant was, I am going to give you the power to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to all the world. And somehow we got that confused with a giant set of skeleton keys that St. Peter has kind of attached to his belt. And he's the guy who stands at the gate and decides whether people can come in or not, at least in all the jokes we tell. And so that's the idea we have of heaven, either these great gates that may open or may not for us, or some kind of barren wasteland filled with clouds that we stand with some kind of heavenly bureaucrat. But that is not the image that we have from the gospel. One place that we can turn is to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, I know, sometimes makes people a little bit nervous because of the symbolism and the contemporary culture desire to interpret that symbolism in a contemporary way and apply it to today. But I will tell you what Revelation is about, and I'll say it in two words, so if anyone ever comes to you and starts shivering when they talk about Revelation, you can say, this is it. This is it. Ready? God wins. That's it. Okay, so there you go. That's what it's about. God wins. But what we have in Revelation are some of this guy named John, his vision of what this heavenly home might look like. You heard one of those visions of glory from chapter 7 this morning. And what we've got is this kind of brightness where there is no need for the sun because God, Christ, is the light. And there will be no other light. We have this image of thousands of people gathered, and we hear that they will never hunger and never thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor will there be heat. And the great Lamb sits on the throne and is this place of living water flowing. Now, we have the idea that that's what it is, and we will gather with these thousands. I heard an image once at a funeral service, and perhaps you've heard this image before, that death is like a voyage, and you get on the ship, and as you move away from shore, there are people on the shore who long for you to return, and they mourn and they grieve that you've gone. And the ship travels out as far as the horizon and goes over the horizon. But the voyage is not done because the voyage, eventually the ship comes to another shore. And there are people there that have been longing to see the one who has died, those who have gone before. And they reach out their hands and they embrace and welcome the one who has come. I think it's a beautiful image. And perhaps it happens in those great crowds of thousands who are in heaven and we'll be heaven bound. But what I like to think is that there's something even greater and amazing. And this is the way that John writes it in 1 John 3:1-3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again and again in Scripture, what we're promised is in this heavenly home, we will see Christ face to face. And we will be changed in glory. What an amazing thing. What will it be like where there's no sun but only the brightness of God to see our way? This is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Oh, to see Jesus face to face. To know that our loved ones that we mourn this day and remember this day have had that opportunity. Because what does it mean to see Jesus face to face? All we've got to look at is some of the gospel stories about him. To see that. Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, looked into the face of people who were fishing and said, "Follow me," and they did. Jesus was in a synagogue one day and a woman came in, bent over, unable to look into the faces of her children and grandchildren. She had been bent over for years. He had compassion, reached out, touched her. She stood and she looked into his face. A man came to Jesus and simply said, "Come, you must look at my son." And Jesus went to look at him. And he was having a seizure, and he cured him of those seizures. And as Jesus hung on the cross, he looked out at the crowd, into the faces of the people, and do you remember what he said? "Father, forgive them." And on the day of his resurrection, as he stood in the garden, and Mary Magdalene stood by him, confused, he looked into her face, he said her name, and she knew that it was the risen Christ. To look into the face of Jesus is to know you will be all that God has created you to be. To look into the face of Jesus is to know healing. As we remember loved ones who through age and conditions became weak, to look into the face of Jesus is to stand strong, to see, to sing, and to dance. To look into the face of Jesus is to know absolute love and the very mercy of God. Who wouldn't want to be in that crowd where healing abounds and joy is present, and perhaps the people are waving palms, a sign of victory, and all are singing in praise and glory. Today, we honor the dead, and we remember. And I would suggest not only can we remember lives and honor them, but we can remember forward to a time like them when we will see our Lord face to face, and in that vision we will find comfort and healing. We will link arms with those who have gone before us and lift heavenly song. This is the promise and the hope of our faith, that we will see Jesus face to face. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you on this day for all of the saints who have gone before us. We honor them and we remember them. But God, we also thank you for the many ways in which they've paved the road that we walk ahead of us. And God, we want to honor all those who have gone before us. We want to cherish not only their memories, but we want to take their best qualities, their best characteristics, and we want to make them our own as well. And in that way, their spirit lives on through us. And so, God, we thank you on this day for the great cloud of witnesses that we have gone before us. And, Lord, we thank you for all of the generous gifts that have been given to building your kingdom here on this earth. And so, Lord, we take a moment of silence right now as we remember our friends, our family, our loved ones, our fellow church members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We give thanks to you, and we pray that we might be able to carry on their legacy as well. Jesus, we thank you because you demonstrated to us that death is not the end, but that it is the beginning of resurrection. And so we place our hope, our faith, and our trust all in you. We lift up our prayers and we lift up all of these dedications as we pray the prayer that you first taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.